Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Class is in session, Place to Be Nation. JT, the professor here. We are back. Jeff is not dead. He's here to learn wrestling, and we're here to talk to you tonight. Jeff, how are you?
Good. Yes, welcome to episode one of Justin Learns Chess.
Oh, is that what we're doing tonight?
Well, there's a lot going on in the world of chess. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but the U.S. championships are happening right now. Oh. And a United States player has qualified to challenge the world champion for the first time since 1972, and Bobby Fischer.
And you're here, and that's going on? Is it right now?
Well, yeah, it's in St. Louis. I don't really want to go to St. Louis.
No, I mean, I don't mean you were in Rhode Island. I meant you were in my house. Like, are they playing right now?
Oh, no, they start at 2, they're done.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so it's been a while. I don't even know when the hell the last time we talked was. It was, is it on here?
February 2nd. I'm obviously joking. We're not going to talk about chess. No one out there wants to hear about chess unless I start my own chess podcast, which is a possibility.
If you're interested in hearing Jeff talk chess, so let us know and he'll start the podcast.
Well, we need like a Jeff Learns Wrestling and then a Jeff Learns How to Start and Actually Do and Lead the Podcast.
Okay.
Because I just show up and talk. You guys do all, like you and Josh have always done the buttons. I need to know how to do the buttons.
Okay. I can teach you how to do the buttons, babe.
That's what I need,
Pussycat babe. Dolls. All right. So we're here. It's been a while. February 2nd was when we last recorded that we did the main event.
No shit.
Yeah.
What's today?
April 20th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been a while. And we're not going to talk about wrestling.
Yes, we were supposed to talk about WrestleMania 4 and all of the episodes, the weekly episodes leading up to it.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to get into it, but we just can't today for a myriad of reasons.
Right. And there's been a lot of reasons since, like, this is like the third time I think we've actually like hung out with the intent of doing this podcast. And like the first two times shit came up and we couldn't. And then I went away for work and then I went away on vacation to New Orleans, WrestleMania. And my wife was gone out tonight and I'm like, all right, let's hang out. Let's get WrestleMania 4 done. So I messaged you last night and I'm like, all right, we're good, right? WrestleMania 4, we're going to talk about it. And you said...
I said, absolutely.
I'm going to binge. You did say no diggity, which confused me. Because I'm like, does that mean no doubt, like in the song? Or does that mean
no diggity or no diggity? It meant no diggity.
Am I diggity? That's why I was like, was it no comma diggity? That's what I wasn't sure about.
No, you were not diggity.
Okay, I'm not.
The answer was yes. But even though I've seen WrestleMania 4 at least 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, I still needed to watch it through again.
Right. You do like to... So, everyone knows, like, isn't Jeff just blowing off his responsibilities? He likes to be so prepared for these. He watches this shit, like, 2 or 3 times and takes, you know, very copious notes.
I have to, because I don't have the memory I used to. I used to have a great memory, and now I just... It immediately flies... I have to watch it, like, immediately before we talk about it.
No diggity.
No doubt. I'm old.
You're old. So, all right. So, what happened then? What you were all set to watch today? You told me you were going to binge, and you didn't.
All right, so I live with my fiance who has a shitty Hyundai Santa Fe.
And we all know your feelings on Hyundais.
Oh, man, Hyundais are the worst. I prepared for your tweets about that, you Hyundai douches out there. Anyway, she had to go to Braintree, Massachusetts to get some pottery equipment because she is an artist.
Potter.
She's a potter.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know if potters and artists are resentful of the interchanging of those terms. But anyway, she calls herself a sculptor, a ceramicist, whatever you want to say. She had to go up to Braintree, which is a god-awful place.
Yeah.
It's basically like driving to Boston, only without the cool stuff.
Mm. And so Boston she's like, sucks, too. So
yeah, Boston does. Wait, you tricked me. Anyway, we'll get to that later. So she, having a shitty car that we're always afraid is going to blow up at any minute, decided to take my car. And as soon as she gets to Braintree, it stops working. So I had to drive up there with her shitty car during rush hour, and this was like a 3 to 4 hour process of switching cars and me deciding whether or not to call AAA and try to drive it, because I could still drive it in the manual shift, but her being a woman and me being a man, she couldn't figure that out, but I could.
Right, obviously.
Because, you know, men
She's also like, how old?
She's 27.
Yeah, that's kind of borderline for like stick.
She's not a kid anymore. Snooki can drive Snick.
Snick?
Snickers. Stick.
Yeah, Snooki. Remember when they called her Snickers?
Yeah.
That was like kind of before season. They knew. Yeah.
And then there was a series of episodes during the first season where they felt bad about calling her the wrong name, but they felt too like self-conscious about changing and calling her the right name.
Yeah, Snickers is coming home from the bar.
Like, oh, it's Snickers, Snickers. But so, you can see the love happening. But anyway, more Jersey Shore to come, I hope.
Okay, so this car fiasco prevented you from preparing like you normally would. So you messaged me around like, I don't even know what time it was, 5-ish maybe. And you're like, we can't record. I can come over, but you need to come pick me up. I'm going to be dropping my car off. It was a lot of instruction in this long message, a rare long message from you with a lot of instruction for me.
Yeah, so you live just far away from me where it's not so easy where I could take my car, drop it off, have someone drive me to your house.
Right.
But the place where I take my car to be fixed, coincidentally, is near your house.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to take my car there. You pick me up there. And then I'll have my girlfriend pick me up at your house after we're done hanging out.
Right.
Apparently, that was too much to ask because you have children.
I do have children. and my wife was going out earlier than you were going to be ready. So to rewind just a little bit, we were going to do D'Angelo's for dinner, as usual.
These friggin' D'Angelo sandwiches, man.
And I was going to put the order in online, but I never got to it. So when you messaged me that, hey, you can pick me up at 7:30, I'm like, well, it's probably too late, but I want to get the kids to bed so we can hang out. And you were like, well, oh, these D'Angelo sandwiches are cursed because I was going to put the order in for 7:15. Come around, I hadn't put the order in. So you're like, oh, well, I can come early then. So you came, and I was all ready to load the kids into the car to come pick you up. You messaged me at like 6:20, said a 10-minute warning like I had asked you. But I was behind getting them ready for bed. I was getting their pajamas on. I was making their dinner. So I called my neighbor to see if she could come over and watch the kids so I could come get you. And she doesn't pick the phone up. So I called my dad, who lives about 5 minutes away. And I was like, can you come watch the kids so I can go pick up Jeff? And he said, well, I'll just pick up Jeff. So I text Jeff and said, my dad is picking you up to bring you to my house.
So unbeknownst to me, I'm sitting there waiting at the auto place. And I'm waiting for Justin's dad to come get me. Like, we're 15 years old.
We are 15 again. We're basically 15. We're going to watch wrestling, eat, take out, and my dad had to drop you off, and your girlfriend's picking you up.
Basically, nothing has changed except for the fact that I have a glass of 12-year-old scotch sitting next to me.
Yeah, more than, well, it's 12-year-old. It was 12 years old.
It was barreled for 12 years, and it came out in 1980-something, so it's at least, what, 40 years old?
Yes. Does it taste 40?
Oh, yeah.
It tastes like a MILF?
It's aging in the glass bottle, which is probably bad. I don't know if you guys drink whiskey. Send us your whiskey comments.
Yeah.
Jeff learns whiskey.
Jeff knows whiskey.
That's true.
All right. So we're not talking much wrestling here tonight, unfortunately, for you fans that wanted to hear it. But we didn't want to not do an episode because it has been over 2 months, and we feel like we had to do something.
We wanted to do an episode that says, you know what, Jeff learns wrestling fans, someday we are going to talk about WrestleMania 4.
We care about WrestleMania 4, and we care so much about it that we want to do it right. We don't want to fuck around and do it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I started watching before I got the call about, you know, my car breaking down.
Right.
I saw the Battle Royale again. I feel like I've seen that stupid thing like 4 times.
With the uke?
And I guess I just had, we'll do like a quick preview, like tease kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the tournament that happens, which I've already kind of seen, because the belt is vacant, which gives them an opportunity to have a tournament. Why is the belt vacant? Is that because of the Ted DiBiase thing? Was there like a ruling that I missed?
Because Andre sold it to DiBiase. Jack Tunney rules, the president ruled that you cannot.
Oh, so it's just a ruling.
Right. You cannot buy the title.
Okay.
So Andre is recognized as a champion and then recognized as having forfeited the title. So it became vacated because DiBiase cannot purchase it.
Well, instead of vacating it, why don't they just let Andre keep it?
Well, he had already surrendered it. That's it. He gave it up.
So you can surrender it, but then it just goes to nobody.
Right. Goes into abeyance.
Okay.
So that's why it's on the line for the tournament. And it was a good hook for the WrestleMania. Make it stand out something different, right?
That's a good hook. How many people were in the tournament?
14.
All right. So with that many people, I'm surprised that they even had extra events.
Yeah.
They had like the Royal Rumble. They had the tag team match that was going to come up.
They have the Intercontinental title, and there's a couple other ones too.
So many matches.
That's one of the beefs with WrestleMania 4 from fans today, looking back, saying, wow, that is a... Which is ironic, because today's WrestleMania is going like 7 hours when you factor in the preview show and all that stuff. But back then, it's a pretty bloated show for like 1988. It's a long one, which has made me laugh that you've watched it now like 6 times. It's like one of the longest shows of that era.
Well, it's only 3.5 hours, but I just feel like they probably just didn't like put enough effort into each match. They didn't do enough choreography as they could have or whatever, you know?
Yeah, the matches are all fairly short on that show. I think maybe You're probably lucky if you get one over 10, you know, at that point. So,
but I reserve my judgment for the overall show until we actually do our episode, which will come next time.
Next, whenever that, it might be July, but next time.
See, let me tell you a brief, like, anecdote about me personally. When I was 18 years old, I asked for a guitar for Christmas. My mom bought me a guitar, and now it is in my closet with a bunch of Teach Yourself How to Play Guitar books. When I moved out of my house, I bought a harmonica because I wanted to be a great harmonica player. And now my harmonica is sitting in my junk drawer along with my envelopes and hammer. The point is, if you don't keep on me about something, I'm going to lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So all these months that you were off gallivanting, watching Jennifer Lopez concerts in Las Vegas and New Orleans, all these places I would love to go, I'm never going to go.
We're going to go to Vegas.
I'm sitting at home and I'm not watching wrestling. You understand?
I know.
We can't do one episode every 3 months. We should do 1 to 2 Jeff Learns Wrestling episodes a week.
A week?
You got to find time. I don't want to hear this.
You going to pay for my divorce lawyer?
I don't want to hear this. Oh, I have kids. I can't even pick you up 2 miles from my own house. I got to call my dad to give you a ride.
I wish.
I wish. I watch wrestling and I want a podcast about it. God dang it.
I wish I didn't have kids so I could just record wrestling podcasts with you. I do.
Well, now the truth comes out and I'm going to sound clip that and text it to Megan.
She probably would agree. Well, she would think. She would not be surprised.
She's like, I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. All right. So we do have a Mega Powers related story, though, that while we're here, we may as well talk about.
So, yeah, the story naturally came up because on the one hand, we're talking about the Mega Powers era and also your dad having driven me to your house. It just took us back to, oh, wait, I'm confusing the stories.
Confusing stories. We could tell both.
Which one should we tell first?
I'd say we tell the Mega Powers because it's heavier, and then we end with the lighthearted one.
Okay, all right. So, you know, we're sitting here.
And we're also, by the way, it's just around, like, the seven-year anniversary of the story. It was April.
It was April
2011, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God.
Because
you know
it was before my daughter was born.
It was 2011 because that's, like, it was around the same time that my grandfather died. I can't remember if it was before or after this day.
Well, the Bruins were in the, and the Bruins were in the playoffs, right? Because didn't we watch it at your house and then we went to the tournament? Was that that? Or was that am I mixing things? That's before we went to Foxwoods.
Yeah, that was before the Foxwoods.
Right.
Because we just met at this party. Anyway.
Oh, it might have been 2010 even.
So Justin and I are in our mid to late 30s. What would you call 37? Is that mid?
Mid.
It's probably late. Whatever.
Whatever.
And there was a time when children and things of this nature were not the most common thoughts on our mind.
Right.
There was a time that the number one thought was beer pong.
I'm saying this is 2010, by the way. I'm going back even. No, it was 11 because Scott and I had started the podcast. We talked about it on the podcast. So those old school PTB fans have probably heard a part of this story before.
Oh, my God. If you've talked about it on the podcast, I need to hear those episodes.
We did.
Because there is still some unsolved mysteries.
I could probably fill those in for you.
I mean, it's been gradually pieced together in my brain, but
okay.
Anyway, so when I was so we were just turning 30, and a friend of mine who was in his late 20s, so he hadn't quite hit the 30 barrier of like trying to be more adult. He threw beer pong parties to the point where he like. Each party had a name. There was a series of parties, 1 through 9, and they planned them out, and each one had a theme. So you signed up with a partner, and it was a 16-team tournament, and it was dubbed the best party ever. And I was a mainstay in these parties with my brother. We were Team Douche, obviously.
Obviously.
And my brother was like the best beer pong player that I have ever met, naturally, but he always choked in these tournaments, so... The last two tournaments I had been in, so I started in six and seven. We didn't place. Very disappointing. So the Ocho comes around.
Yeah.
And they're short a bunch of teams. People were like going to Europe to study or they were having babies or whatever. And I say, oh, Dan, I got the perfect guy who can fill in. I call my friend Justin. I'm like, hey.
So actually, I remember where you asked me. We were at Beer Fest.
Oh, my God.
It is one of my last... That's another story for another time. That's one of my last memories of that night before the lights went out, is you invited me, and I remember texting Scott while we were walking around Beer Fest saying, hey, do you want to come down and be in this beer pong tournament that Jeff is telling me about? I remember that is like one of my last, that and eating sunflower seeds with Mercurio.
Oh, man.
And then it all went dark from there.
That just totally defines that period of time for me. Beer right. Fest and beer pong.
Everything.
All the stuff. Yeah. So I say, hey, do you want to play beer pong in this awesome tournament where you like sign up with an official partner and it's run really well? These guys built this awesome table called the X Factor. Mm-hmm. It was two giant pieces of mahogany put together so they could have two games going at once in this giant.
It was
X.
Like the oak table that they used at the contract signing with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Exactly like that, only bigger and better.
Yes.
And they had like little spots for all the cups.
And they also had buy-in, and there was money prize for this tournament.
Yes, it was a buy-in for each team, and I believe that the first place was $400 or $500.
It was decent. It was a good chunk.
But what ultimately was important,
they also
was
had a
that,
DJ, by the way.
They had a DJ. They had turntables, the
shot
whole thing.
Shot table. I mean, it was crazy.
They had a shot station with a girl who was cladly dressed, serving people shots. It was a really, really well-run beer pong experience. So I text the guy who's running it, and I say, my friend wants to play. He says, sure. And Justin says, we're in, and Scott is his partner, and they're the Mega Powers. Now, this is perfect for this show.
Well, you should explain, because every team had to have a gimmick and a name.
Well, not so. Yeah, you,
right. You
a,
had
name,
a name,
a costume.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
costumes
yeah.
Okay. were encouraged.
So we were just like nerds coming as the Mega Powers. I mean, we were encouraged to come up with a team name. So Scott wore his Hulk Hogan shirt. I had my Macho Man shirt. We wore the bandanas, and you know, we dressed up for the part.
Yeah, like some people took it more seriously than others. There was one year that my friends Gene and Adam were Mama and Papa Bear, and they actually wore bear costumes. Mm-hmm. But most people would just write their team name on a T-shirt.
Right.
So the first year, me and my brother were the Scout Masters because we were Eagle Scouts and we wore our Scout uniforms. And then we're like, you know what? We don't really want to do that anymore. So we just were Team Douche and we wrote Douche on a T-shirt and that was our thing. So you guys showed up as the Mega Powers mm-hmm. with your Hulk Hogan and your Randy Savage T-shirt. But at the time, like, I don't know anything about wrestling. I don't watch wrestling. I don't even know that the Mega Powers was Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
Right.
So I thought you guys were coming as like characters from that... that show, Eastbound and Down.
Oh, okay. Kenny Powers?
Kenny Powers.
You mix up Mega Powers with Kenny Powers?
I mix up Mega Powers okay. with Kenny Powers. All right. So I was like, oh, it's a wrestling thing. That's cool. No big deal. My brother, for whatever reason, could not participate in this particular tournament. So I paired up with my ex-girlfriend's younger sister, Caitlin. And Caitlin, during this tournament, just went out of her mind.
Shot.
Well, that comes later, but I just meant in terms of not missing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. My brother, when I was playing with him, he was like the primary. I was just there. He was like the main guy. So I would shoot first, he would shoot second, and whatever. He crumbled under the pressure. So with Caitlin, I was like, you know what? I'm going to shoot second. And then I got into this beer pong groove, because if you shoot second and your partner hits it, whatever, you hit a ball.
Right.
If you shoot second and they miss, it's like, well, they miss too.
Right.
So shooting second is like the least pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin, so she went first and she did not miss and I did not miss. Mm-hmm. We just destroyed the competition. It was incredible.
And now while that's going on, I went in with no expectations of this thing. Because I'm like, I'm like above average. I'm not great. Scott is pretty good. Like I'd probably rank him a little bit above me when it comes to beer pong. And like... the first game was real tight, I remember. Like, we barely edged it out. And then we got into the zone where we beat, was it Sharky? We beat, like, a really good team that we should not have no clue beating because I went unconscious, which I never do. I hit, like, 6 or 7. And, I mean, that's, like, a rarity for me.
You beat the defending champions and you beat Sharky and Crystal back-to-back.
Right. It was, like, a crazy run we went on.
It was, like, what's happening?
Right.
All of a sudden, Justin and Scott, because... disclaimer, Scott is great at beer pong.
And he's old.
And he's old, and he's got a lot of experience.
But it's all off-putting when you see this old man come in in his Hulk Hogan shirt, and all of a sudden he's lighting it up.
You know, there were so many years spent in your old house in the basement playing beer pong during whatever party, the day after Thanksgiving. I was like, everything's going to go smoothly. Like, Justin and Scott, they love beer pong. They love partying. Everything's great. So what should happen, but... for some reason, somehow, which I was not privy to, you guys were offending everyone at the party.
Which I don't recall offending anybody until the end.
Well, I was getting complaints about you guys for most of it. In the meantime, you and Scott decided that, hey, Caitlin and Jeff are unbeatable. There's one way to get out of this. We're going to get Caitlin shit-face wasted. So you would take
now,
her.
Now, hang on one
no,
second.
No, 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 hang no, on, no. Hang this on. Is a fact. This is a fact.
This girl did not need any assistance getting shit-face wasted.
You were getting her shots from the shot station, which was a, hey, you know, we're going to give a dollar or two to the shot girl if you get a shot.
Yeah, come over, have a shot. We're just being
she
friendly.
She wouldn't have gone over there. You were offering it to her, so you took advantage.
She didn't need help getting drunk. And you didn't need help getting drunk because you were out of your fucking mind.
No, at some point, I had to drink both cups because she couldn't even like drink a beer.
I don't get what the complaints were about during the thing, though. I don't think we were too brash. I don't know what the problem. I think
you
were
brash.
We were winning.
I think
it was a Pierre Bronc tournament for money in a basement. Of course, we're going to be brash. That's the point.
Yes, but you're taunting. It's a very friendly tournament. And you were taunting in a way that's like, all right, if they knew who you were, it would make more sense.
Well,
look,
then.
Look, I can't judge that because I didn't see it. So I don't know what exactly you said. Or
I mean, I'm not really a brash guy when it
but
comes
to
television.
But that's not even the... It wasn't even a big deal, right, except for the fact that we got to the finals together.
Yeah. So we're in the championship round, which I never expected to be in, by the way.
The championship round of the penultimate tournament for these guys. So we're going to have one last tournament after this. So it was the second to last chance to get your name on the trophy, which we haven't even mentioned the trophy.
Yeah.
They bought a trophy... And they had the winners' names engraved on it.
Is
it
my
was
name
like the
on
Stanley
there?
Cup.
Or do they not do it?
You don't know how the story ends? Oh, this is a satisfying moment then. I thought we already talked about
we
this.
We probably did like 7 years ago. But
all right, so we get to the championship game, and me and I think I hit 9 cups in a row.
Yeah.
Even though I was like...
You were gone.
I could not stand up.
You were gone. She
Caitlin was
gone.
Taking a shot and missing by like 4 feet.
Right. And I was okay with losing at that point. I'm like, it's Jeff. It's fine. We're here. Like, I wasn't even like so into winning. But, so we get down to the end.
It's 4 cups to 1. I hit 9 cups in a row. I couldn't hit the last cup.
Right.
So Justin and Scott have 4 cups left. And at some point, Justin flings the ball towards our cups. And I think he's trying to bounce it. So I go to stop the bounce. And I knock like 3 of the cups over.
Right.
So then Justin and Scott start calling for a ruling, saying that I hit the cups. And I'm saying that it was an illegal shot on whatever. But I can't form words.
Right.
So the head of the arbiter of the party comes down. He's trying to make a ruling, and he's like, all right, fine, the cups count. And then instead of just trying to take my last shot, I just went crazy with rage and tried to kill you.
Yeah. So actually, you knocked down all the cups. There was none left on your side. So you were going to shoot to try and send it to overtime. Because then the game ended when you attacked.
Oh, I knocked down all 4 cups.
You knocked down everything. Because we never went back and hit the last cup. So that was kind of like... All right, this is how you're going to win. But in that moment, honestly, and I'm telling you this honestly, I just wanted the game to end. Like, I was rooting for you to hit that last cup because you were so fucking wasted.
Yeah, but I wasn't
going to... She was wasted.
I wasn't going to shoot to send it to overtime because we deserved to win.
Right.
Or at least, if you were going to beat me, you have to sink those last cups.
Right.
You can't go into overtime by getting on a penalty is what I'm trying to say.
Well,
That's what happened, but that's not what should have happened, and I couldn't verbalize it.
Right, so you attacked me.
So I attacked you, and basically the game ended.
Right.
So as I was like lamenting ever
Hang
inviting...
On. We're not done, because you attacked me, you come at me on the couch, and now you've come at me, you've swung at me, and we tumble into the couch, and like Scott's all, I don't know what the hell he was even doing, and what set me off was I had just had my LASIK surgery, and you were clawing at my eyes.
I probably knew that.
Which drove me insane. So then I started punching you in the side of the head.
Oh, yeah.
Which ended up giving you a black eye.
There's a great picture on Facebook that you should use as the heading to this episode. Because it's me with my shirt off and my hat backwards.
Yelling
and crazy eyes about to try to punch you.
Yeah.
And Scott is just like standing there like shaking his head in the background. It's probably the best. It's probably
now,
the best picture of all time.
You know, for him it was nothing new because we fought at like every party for like 5 years. Like... Our parties usually end with like you and me kind of half real, half fake, like brawling.
There is something weird about when back in the day when we used to get wasted, we would always try to fight.
Yeah, there was this weird...
It was almost like I wanted to see if I could beat you up because you're so much bigger than me.
Right.
And you enjoyed me coming at you.
Right.
And, like,
and you never could beat me up.
I never could, no. I was really trying.
Yeah, I know. So they finally pull you off me and they like drag you outside. And now I'm like... Let me go talk to him. And they're like, no, stay inside, man. Like, and they're acting like I don't know you. And I just started fighting a random person. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. We're like best friends. We've been friends for like since like 1996. I'm like, you're not really following what I'm trying to tell you. Like, we can talk after we fight. We're perfectly fine. In the interim, you had run away. And no one knew where you were. It turned out you had gone to like Burger King or Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah. So I took my clothes off and I started running down the main road. And eventually they caught up to me in the car.
But we didn't know where you went. So now, Scott and I have called my wife to come pick me up. We're in hostile territory.
Very hostile.
Everyone's angry. I don't know anyone. All I know is we're owed a bunch of money for winning the tournament.
But you weren't, because the game had not ended.
It ended. You knocked the last cups over, and then you forfeited the last throw.
I didn't forfeit. There was an incident. There was an incident. First of all, you tried to deceive me on purpose, so your throw didn't count. Because the throw did not go above the rim of the cup.
Get out of here. This is nonsense. So anyway.
This is not nonsense.
So I just asked the guy. I'm like, look, man, you know, I don't know. I didn't know if I was going to see you again. I didn't know if I was going to see them again. I felt like we had earned the money.
Oh, everyone out there in Place to Be Nation, did you hear what Justin just said? What? He said, I don't know if I was ever going to see you again.
You
were naturally,
so mad at me.
I didn't know if I was ever going to see you again. So naturally, my main concern was to get my $200.
I meant as a friend. I didn't know if you were going to like want to talk to me because you were really angry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You should have. We could have talked about it the next day.
I didn't. If I was in the financial situation I'm in today, I would have said I'm okay not taking the money. That was a lot of money at that point.
Oh, come on. It's not like we were 15. It wasn't a lot of money. It's not about the money. It's about the title.
At that moment, look, you're the one who ran down the street naked. You have no position to judge what people's mentalities were. I was pretty loaded myself. So
you tried to trick me into knocking the cups over, and you
succeeded. I wanted you to win. I just wanted the game to end because I was like nervous for you because you were so drunk. I was like scared for you at that point.
I was obviously just going to pass out on the couch.
Yeah, you were really drunk. That was like the drunkest I had ever seen you. You were like gone. Like your eyes were just like vanished.
All right, so what happens is you talk.
I get the money.
You got the money and you left.
Right.
And then I ended up eating like seven Whoppers.
Yep.
Passing out, waking up, and you texted me saying, hey, are we okay? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Because I really didn't remember anything that happened after about 8 p.m.
And so I also messaged the tournament guy. I messaged him like a formal apology for everything that went down. I was like, whatever you need, like, you know, we didn't want it to go that way. We had a great time. And, you know, and his response to me was cordial. He was like, and he actually... He blamed Scott, which was the funny part. He's like, I don't think it was really you. It was your partner. I'm like, oh, all right. Made me feel a little bit better. I probably have the message still.
Well, that makes sense because if
he
there
must have
was
been
anything,
the one being real brash.
I imagine so, yes. But the thing that was weird about the party is that how the games were scheduled, I never saw you guys.
Right.
It's like we showed up. We're like, hey, welcome to the party.
Right.
And then I didn't see you again until the finals.
Right.
And then it all went to shit like in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But the next day, people are calling me, piecing together the story.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that bastard, he tried to cheat me. So I talk to Dan. I'm like, so what's going on? Dan is the guy who runs the party. I'm like, so what's going on? Like, how is this ending? Like, do you want me to, like, call Justin? He's like, all right, Jeff, the last game, Matt, because him and his cousin were, like, co-chairs of the party. And Matt had no idea what happened. And I was, like, so drunk. People, like, weren't even really down there watching us even play.
Right. There wasn't many people there at all, no.
So no one really knew what happened. And once you guys left, Dan was like, we don't ever want to see them again. He's like, so here's what's going to happen. They got the money. That's fine. But their names are not going on the trophy. So either the Ocho title is going to be vacated, or we decided, as a triumvirate, because it was him, his cousin Matt, and Matt's girlfriend, who like apparently paid for everything. I go over to their house that day. I get one shot. If I hit it, we're the champions. If I miss it, it's vacated. And I fucking sank it.
Sounds made up.
It's absolutely true. And you know what? It's been so many years later, and Dan was so proud of this tournament that I bet he would come on with us.
Yeah.
And discuss, like, his perspective.
He should come on. We should clear the air.
Yeah, especially since you're looking at me like you are dubious about this whole situation.
No, I believe you. You wouldn't lie about it.
I'm telling you, I hit the cup.
So is your name on the trophy?
Yes, Caitlin,
so we both
and Jeff,
won.
Fade to black.
I made a bunch of money.
I got my name on the trophy.
I would say if we cared about either one of those things, that's the way to do it. I would have wanted the money, and you would want to be on the trophy.
It was fitting because, like, the mega powers are just, like, cursed.
Right.
Like, they just stir trouble.
And we talked about a vacated title. We forfeited the title for money.
Wow.
Just like Gondor the Giant.
That was totally unintentional, dude.
So that's, like, one of our best stories we have. And we were fine pretty much almost immediately. And like I said, and he was fine. I think he actually even invited me to the next one in the message. Like, if we were to go back and look at the message, I'm pretty sure he said, you're welcome back anytime. Your partner's not.
Well, what's sad was, all right, so there was 9 tournaments, and that was the 8th one. So the 9th one was supposed to be the biggest, best, hugest blowout beer pong tournament party ever. And it was a dud.
Yeah.
people were just like,
so you needed the heels. You should have had us back.
It used to be you had to like claw to get to one of the 16 spots. Right. They only had 12 teams.
Yeah, that's lame.
It was terrible.
You needed the heels back to everyone to rally.
They jumped
against
the shark one party too early.
Yeah, we went out with a bang.
If you guys came back, that totally would have brought some extra drama.
Well, it would have been great because everyone would have been booing us. would have been pretty fun.
Scott would have been doing this stupid like Hercules flex.
Oh, yeah, all the stupid heel shit he likes to do. All right, so yeah, that's a fun story. Jersey Shore, so speaking of meatheads drinking beer and getting into fights, it's back, and we're big Jersey Shore fans. Some may know you and Josh Richer and Andrew Flanagan. This was like in the bowels of Place to Be Nation.
This is like those episodes, I don't even remember doing them. I know that they existed.
Right.
I remember Andy coming to my house watching Jersey Shore, and all of a sudden it stopped so abruptly that it's like one of those weird things. It's like if you watch Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz, they filmed like the whole movie with Eric Stoltz. And they decided, you know what? He sucks. They got Michael J. Fox, but you can go on YouTube and watch it with Eric Stoltz. That's what those episodes were like. It's like, what? We were talking about Jersey Shore and Josh was pretending that we were kidnapped.
Right. It was, the whole thing was very odd. It was like the last season of Roseanne. So anyway, we're big Jersey Shore fans, and I'm all in on this reunion season. It is like, I didn't even watch that reunion special they did, because then I knew this was coming, and this is like the special sauce. Like, this has been like the best possible thing that could have happened. I am fully invested again, and there's some things we can talk about, but we're going to save the bulk of it because me, you, and Leanne Griffin are going to do a Jersey Shore kind of maybe two-part series. We're going to do one like halfway through and then one at the end. Leanne's a huge Jersey Shore fan too, and we'll break down the whole season. My biggest takeaway so far is that Ron is clearly the one that caused the majority of the drama with Ron and Sam, because she walked away and he is gone. Like, he is still head over heels in love, obsessed with her. Like, he cannot break the Sammy hold that is the booty short hold that is on him. He cannot crack it. He's got a kid on the way with some other girl. He's hooking up with the Swedish chick. Like, he is a fucking mess, and he cannot shed her. And to me, that if you go back and revisit with that lens, he was probably like 80% of the problem with the two of them.
He was 100% of the problem.
So you don't think she was any part of the problem? You think she would have been normal with anyone else?
Well, no. I mean, there's something about Ron that women like, I guess.
I don't know what it is.
He has nothing to offer. He's not funny. He's not
dumb.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's short.
Yeah.
Like
if you see him and Paulie and Vinny, you're not going for Ron.
Yeah. So they got together. But yeah, Ron is the one who is the most mental.
Yeah.
He can start a fight with anybody over anything.
As we saw season one, when he got in the fight in the boardwalk.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Anybody could say anything to him, and he's just right, and they're just wrong.
Right.
I mean, yeah, Sammy is a wicked, vindictive bitch, but we've all dealt with those.
Yeah.
As far as the show goes, Ron is, like, the single, like, he's, like, the one that doesn't belong.
Right.
But somehow makes everything go. Like, yeah. If I was Paulie, I'd be like out with Ron and going, why am I hanging out with this guy?
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. But he's also there because this guy is our moneymaker, because he's the idiot who's going to do something dumb, who's going to say something dumb, and we're going to ride his coattails through all the drama. And Paulie, like he did through the majority of the original series, he just kind of skates along and like feeds off everything that's going on and lands his little one-liners and cleans up the chicks behind everyone. And
he's like the Dalai Lama of Guido's.
He is brilliant. I mean, he monetized this whole thing into the best possible career. And he's just living in Vegas, DJing, and just a millionaire off of just like chilling in the background as all these other Guido morons got into big fights every week.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, the fact that he came from Johnston,
right,
it just makes it worse. Like, I was so close to hanging out with him.
The same high school as Jim Price. I think they were there at the same time.
Oh, man.
So, Ron Juice made its return, which was great. And you knew that it was going to get fucked up. So, the only other off-putting part has been Snooki's face, which I cannot stand to look at. It's disturbing.
Yeah, I feel bad talking about this as, you know, two guys because, you know,
we like Snooki. Like, I thought she was
Snooki.
Cute.
I
like, I had no problem with Snooki.
But we get better looking with age. We don't understand what it's like to...
She's not that old.
Yeah, but when she was on the show, she was 25.
Right.
Okay, and then she gets married, she gets money, and she's thinking to herself, I'm going into my 30s. I'm kind of chubby. I'm only going to look worse. So she gets some work done on her face. You can't really blame her for that. I don't really understand it. I think she was really cute before.
The biggest beneficiary is JWoww, because hers is almost as bad, but somehow it doesn't look nearly as bad as Snooki, that she looks pretty good when they're together.
It makes her look normal when you put them face to face. It's
Like, Snooki's a train wreck. I mean, it's ridiculous. So anyway, more of these hot thoughts to come on the Jersey Shore retrospective podcast on the PTBN Pop feed.
It's almost sad that we're only doing two episodes.
Well, we can maybe do more.
We're going to pack so much into those two episodes.
We are going to jam-pack them. Leanne's like pumped. I mean, she's messaging me constantly. I haven't talked to her this much since we were in college. She is like all in on the Shore. So, and you probably remember her. She's been on with me and Scott a few times. All right. So before we go, it's been a good episode. Longer than we thought we were going to go. That story was a...
Yeah, as far as talking about stuff that we aren't prepared to talk about, I think right. we got a lot of good juice out of it.
We did okay. All right, so one last story, I guess. This one's a lot tamer, but it kind of shows off our volatile friendship from day one. So we played intramural basketball together. We actually played CYO basketball together in, like, freshman and sophomore year, probably. When was that? St. James stuff, like 9th and 10th grade?
Yeah, like 8th, 9th, 10th grade.
It wouldn't have been 8th for me because I was still at St. Mary's. I was playing at Cranston.
Oh, you didn't join up on St. James until high school?
Right, because I started doing CCD.
That's crazy. I have no concept of any of this.
So I think it was 9th and 10th grade. I think it was my CCD years we played. And then we started playing intramural basketball at our high school. And we were the West Warwick Arsonists that they made us change to the West Warwick Heat because we were not allowed to use the arsonist moniker.
At the time, there was actually an arsonist.
Yes.
Terrorizing the city of West Warwick, which is why it was funny.
Town of West Warwick.
Whatever. City town.
Yeah. So, yes, there was an arsonist running wild. It was timely. It was topical. And they did not like it. So we had to be the West Warwick Heat. I actually wrote a paper about that in our creative writing class, how they made us change from the Arsonist League.
Those bastards.
So
they hate gays and they don't have a sense of humor.
Idiots. So there was already like a lot of frustration on this team because Andrew Flanagan, who it was like in intramural basketball, he may as well have been Shaq. Like he was tall, bigger than everyone else. And he was like obsessed with running point. Like he'd always want to bring the ball up the court. And that caused a lot of frustration.
And he often shot it from half court, which I thought was fun.
It was weird. The whole thing was weird. We had Joe Smiles in there, Mario Felici, Bob Watson, Chien. Wasn't Chien on our team, too?
Possibly. Bob Watson just strikes me the wrong way because he was the only West Warwick arsonist to ever get selected to the intramural basketball all-star team.
That's right.
Which was selected by John Jackson, which just rubbed salt in the wounds because I hated him.
And what's funny is I don't have many memories of those games. Like, I feel like we played, like, a game. Like, I don't remember, like, playing
a lot
of
games. No, we played an entire season. I think it was sophomore year, and then...
No, it was older than that because we were driving. I think it was senior year.
No, it was sophomore year. We played a season.
No, because we played in the new gym.
No, but you're missing a point. We played when we were sophomores, and then when we were juniors, you kicked me off the team. You wouldn't let me be on the team, and I couldn't play intramural basketball because I didn't have any other friends. And one of my
I played 3 years intramural basketball?
Yes, because I was on your team sophomore year. I didn't play junior year. Then I played senior year.
But I feel like sophomore year wasn't actually my team.
Well, whatever.
We were like
on
a team.
Somebody's team, and then you took over, and you're like, you know what? Jeff's not going to play for whatever goddamn reason.
Well, you were an asshole.
So what?
So anyway, so senior year, you're back, and Flanagan's bringing the ball to the court because we were in the new gym, so it was definitely senior year. And I was doing intramural street hockey with Ferry as well. We were undefeated and lost in the championship game, which was sad. Mugu Guy Clan. Look it up. After one particularly bad loss, we're driving home, and I'm driving, and you're with me, and this speaks to our friendship because we are screaming at each other, and this is the year after I kicked you off the team, you're back, and I'm still driving you home. Right, I'm still giving you a ride. So that speaks to our friendship that we're fighting like we hate each other.
When you're in high school, giving someone a ride home has nothing to do with liking someone. It's like you could be enemies, and if they need a ride home,
But still, you have to
answer to the parents.
But Mr. Lingo could have given you a ride. People could have given you a ride. Anyway, I'm still giving you a ride home, okay? I agreed to the ride. I'm not kicking you out of the car. I'm driving you home. So we are screaming at each other. I mean, we are arguing over the loss. I don't even know what the fuck we're arguing about. Something, substitution patterns, who knows. So
I was mad because Bob Watson got more playing time than me.
You didn't earn it. So we're on 117. So anyone from this area or been through this area, it's a two-lane road that bottlenecks into one lane. Very drastically.
It was named one of the top 10 worst merges in the country.
It's an awful merge. It is bottlenecks like severely at like the last second after a light.
But nobody knows who has the right of way, the left lane, the right lane.
Right, you just speed to beat the guy next to you, basically. So we're driving and we're going at it. We're yelling, we're not paying attention to anything. And this guy I don't know if he's trying to get over. Do you remember what the move he was trying to make was?
No, somebody who wasn't the guy cut us off.
Oh, right.
And you beeped at them And I said, F you, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And this guy drives by at the same time and looks at us and goes, what are you talking about, A's? Like he thought we were yelling at him.
Right. So he cuts us off in the bottleneck. This is a major road in like a busy
during
time of
rush
day.
Hour.
During rush hour. He goes sideways into the bottleneck.
He stops all traffic.
All traffic. Gets out of his car. And we are like 17. And now he comes over and he gets to the window and we're like shitting our pants.
He's like, get out of the car. You think you're a big tough guy? Come on, get out of the car. I'll fucking kill you guys.
And the accent Jeff's doing is there's a heavy mob presence in Rhode Island. So this guy looks like he probably could have some connection.
He looked Italian. He had glasses and a suit. It was a really nice like SUV. It was like a brand new Grand Cherokee Laredo, which they actually had in 97.
Yeah, so he cuts us off. And now we are like in lockstep. Immediately, we're like, no, we're yelling at that guy.
It wasn't us.
We're
playing my
basketball. It wasn't us. We're not yelling at you.
And he's like Jerry and George in the back of the limo with the Nazis.
They're just like throwing everything they can at the fucking window. And I don't know how it even ended. Did he just tell us like to shut the fuck up and he left? I don't remember the ending.
Yeah, he just said, yeah, that's right. You shut the fuck up. And he just got back in
his
car
and left. He probably saw that we were like 17. He's like, I'm not going
to. I regret that to this day. If that was me now, I would get out of the car and make him kill me.
Right. Yeah. I probably would.
It's like, I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. I don't care how tough you are. Shoot me, you stupid bitch.
Yeah. So,
that makes me angry.
Almost as angry as this baseball game. All right. So anyway, so there's some stories from our youth. We have a few others we can share in future episodes.
Hopefully by hearing the stories, you realize how I wasn't at Justin's house watching wrestling.
Right.
Multiple times a week, like some other PTB members out there.
Right. We're busy fighting. But now we're getting around to the wrestling, and we're going to talk about WrestleMania 4 very soon, we promise. We hope you enjoyed this episode, this trip down memory lane. I think it was a lot of fun. I had a good time. It went by fast.
Yeah. This is Jeff Machado, MJC, the Ocho champion.
And this is JT, $200 richer. I don't remember. Yeah, I guess Scott and I probably split it. I should have taken a little off the top since he pissed everyone off so much, but... anyway, so we're out. This is like my fourth show of the week, and I've been sick the entire week doing all these shows. My voice is just trash at this point.
I think we should have a Place to Be Nation beer pong tournament.
I think we should be done with beer pong tournaments. So anyway, all right, we're out. We will talk to everyone soon. Check out everything else at PlaceNation.com, the GWWE Tag Team Project. Check out the newest podcast Chad and I started, the Wrestling Monday Night War podcast. That's out there too on this very feed. I'm done. You're done?
Fabiano Caruana, look him up.
Is that the guy that cut us off?
No, it's the chess guy.
Check it out. It's that time to lose control. We've been feeling real good, then let's show. Get crazy, get wild, let's party, get loud. If you wanna